Embrace the Word for Wednesday, April 29, 2026. Embracing Psalm 56. Psalm 56 expresses a tested trust in the Lord. Psalm 56 provides a specific historical context. To the choir master, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, a mitkam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. The superscription sets Psalm 56 in the historical context of 1 Samuel 21. You might recall that Psalm 34 meditates on the same historical context. Fleeing Saul, David went into Philistine regions to hide, but as he entered the town of Gath, he was seized and taken to Achish, their king. David feigned insanity and fled upon release. Psalm 56 is a prayer that captures David's struggles while on the run. Psalm 56, as well as the next four psalms, are labeled with the term mictum. It is not clear what that term suggests. The superscription of Psalm 56 also states, according to the dove on far-off terebinths. This phrase seems to refer to the tune and or mood style in which the psalm was sung. Psalm 56 begins with an emphasis upon the evil that was done to David, but injects a refrain that speaks of trust in the Lord, 56:1-7. And though it concludes with an emphasis upon David's sorrows, a refrain interrupts once again by speaking of trust in the Lord, 56:8-13. Psalm 56 starts with an urgent prayer in light of the intense pressure that David was facing. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long. An attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. 56:1-2. David's enemies were putting unrelenting pressure on him. It was as if he was being trampled on and squeezed. Such attacks were all day long and coming from enemies who possessed great positions of power. In such a context, David appeals to God to be gracious to him. Such a request echoes the start of Psalm 51. While the circumstance of Psalm 51 was the need for forgiveness due to his sin, the circumstance of Psalm 56 is the need for help due to his suffering. Grace is needed in the context of our sin as well as our sufferings. The grace of God is always more than enough for us as we face sin and suffering. The first use of a common refrain of Psalm 56 injects a strong confession of trust. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? 56:3-4. Emotionally, David is flooded with fear, but David deliberately fills his heart with faith. David's language is such that his decision to trust God is something of an act of defiance to the fear that he is experiencing. He begins with this refrain, "When I am afraid," and he concludes with, "I shall not be afraid." As David moves from when he is afraid to his resolve that he will not be afraid, he affirms his trust in the Lord. But we should particularly notice what David says in the middle of his statements of faith and fear. The focus is the Word of God. In the face of fear-filled situations, David turns to God's Word, for it is through God's Word that faith is forged and sustained. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. See Romans 10:17. faith is a choice, that we can make in the face of fear. But faith is an enabled choice, not a self-generated choice. The Word of God, by the living power of the Spirit of God and the energizing grace of God, strengthens us to take God at His Word and trust Him. Thus David praises the Lord and His Word, for it imparts confidence amidst affliction. Such confidence stirs David to rhetorically ask, "What can flesh do to me?" Paul's version of this question is, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" See Romans 8:31. Having declared his praise for God's Word before it fills him with faith in the face of fear, David resumes describing his situation. "All day long they injure my cause. All of their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life." 56:5-6. David has picked back up from where he interrupted himself to declare his trust in God. When his enemies are unrelenting in their attempts to harm him, they seek to thwart David's rule and reign as king. There is no mistake as to their motivation. Their intentions are evil. Thus, they work up trouble whenever they can, sinisterly spying and plotting however they can, and doing whatever they can to deprive David of his very life. David prays for the Lord to bring them down. "For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God." 56:7. Psalm 56 shifts slightly from appealing to the Lord to deal with his enemies to pleading with the Lord to remove his sorrows. "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me." 56:8-9. David's words are poignant and encouraging. The Lord is fully aware of David's whereabouts. The imagery suggests that a careful account is kept of everywhere the Lord's people are. We may not know where we are, but the Lord knows exactly. The Lord is also completely aware of every one of our tears. The imagery suggests that the Lord stores his people's tears in a container, like one would store a precious liquid. The entire summation of our lives is remembered by the Lord as though he has written down a full narration. David is entirely convinced that God is aware of him and for him. Therefore, David is confident that when he calls upon the Lord will turn back his enemies. With some slight modification, the refrain injected earlier is repeated. "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" 56:10-11. Once again, the central focus is the praise that David has for God's word. In fact, David twice declares his praise for God's word. It is out of what the word supplies that grace works faith into his heart in the face of his fears. David rhetorically asks a similar question to the first refrain, "What can man do to me?" David is not out of touch with reality. David is fully aware of the reality of the danger that he is in at the hands of his enemies. Thus, he is afraid. But David is also fully aware of a deeper reality. He is in the hands of his God to protect and sustain him. Thus, he will not be afraid. Knowing the character of God's word as true, as well as knowing the character of God's concern for him, David sees through every one of his trials and difficulties and afflictions and sufferings, and knows that God will lead him through every situation and circumstance. Such confidence ignites David in worship. I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. 56:12. David vows to worship God, and he intends on keeping his vows to worship God. David's heart is filled with gratitude. Most likely, David is not completely out of his troubles. It is probable that David's enemies are still pressing in hard on him. But David is confident, knowing that God will be true to his word and that he truly cares for him. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. 56:13. David senses that not only will the Lord walk with him throughout his life, but that the Lord will raise him up to life after death. Sustained in life and delivered in death, such is the perspective that stimulates a grateful, worshiping heart. As we reflect on Psalm 56, we should consider words from Jesus himself concerning faith in the face of fear. Do not fear, only believe. See Mark 5:36. These words were spoken by Jesus to the ruler of the synagogue after the news had reached the ruler that his daughter was dead. Jesus directed the ruler to not fear the loss of his daughter, for Jesus would bring her back to life. Just as David knew that he could take God at his word rather than believe what his enemies were saying, Jesus directs the ruler of the synagogue to trust what he said he could do. And Jesus showed the power of his word. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. See Mark 5:41-42. Always at the heart of the battle to not let our fears overtake us is the recollection of the word that says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." See Mark 6:50. That's all for Embrace the Word for Wednesday, April 29, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Friday, May 1, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 57.